This conference is being recorded.
Hello, this is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and we're doing our ongoing private mentoring calls here. And today is May 12th, so I want to chat with everyone about just questions that you have. The main purpose of these calls is to answer your questions and to give you the help that you need for your business and for any aspect of your business. And then I always add some training as well to each of the calls. So first I had a question come in from Christo in South Africa. And he's trying to get on the call right now, I think. So he says the rugby player that he's working with one of the top rugby players in South Africa, wants to get into a state where he can load stuff in the week before the game about what he wants to do so that it can just happen during the game. So, kind of load all sorts of images into his, I guess you can think of it like a computer. You load things into your computer, you can load things into your brain. So he says he read on meditation and he wants to get into a relaxed state and then load stuff in. He says, I'm doing a MP3 for him with breathing and centering. And what do you focus on when centering? In other words, what do you think of? Is his question. And he says, he had moments in different games that I'm going to use in the MP3 because he says that he is never fully satisfied, but different moments in different games keeps him going. And he has the question, should I leave time on the MP3 for him to load his own stuff, or how do I deal with it? He says the guy will probably make the national rugby team to the World Cup later this year. So that's exciting. Yeah, because Christo was saying he's working with a coach there, the top rugby team in South Africa, and this is brand new stuff for them, that they don't use sports psychology much there, so it's really breaking ground. So yeah, real excited for you, Christo, to be able to be working with these athletes in a brand new way over there. So with your question about, first, what do you focus on when centering? What do you think of? I guess it's good to just leave it open to each athlete and decide, what is what they want to do. I usually just say, something simple like, breathe in through your nose and focus on your center, just right behind your belly button, and then breathe out and relax, and just imagine that there's a tiny valves at the ends of your fingertips and toes, and just let go of all the tension out through those special openings in your fingertips and toes. So you do something with breathing in, breathing in good energy, focusing in your center, kind of that middle area of your body. Some people call it chi, your chi energy, your sort of core energy. Other people just breathe in and they try to just let go of thoughts, try to just be completely relaxed and focusing on the moment, on being right here, right on, right now, and then just letting go with the breath out. But it's really individualized for each person, I guess, is the best answer, that you don't want to force an athlete to think of a certain thing unless they're really asking for your guidance and they don't have any idea of what to do. Then you can give them something like I was just telling you to for them to focus on it first. If an athlete is more oriented toward words, they're thinking about their power words or affirmations, you can say breathe in all the qualities that you do want, and then breathe out all the qualities that you want to let go of, things to let go of. So breathe, and then if they've told you certain things they want to focus on, like confidence, you can say, okay, with your next breath, breathe in confidence. And that's a good way of centering. And then say, just breathe out and let go of stress or let go, that kind of thing. If they want to breathe, breathe in positive energy, your next breath, breathe in positive energy, and then breathe out and let go of any unwanted thoughts. So a breathe, so that's a way to let their breathing be a way to take in all the good energy and positive things that they want, and then breathing out is a way to let go, and that really relaxes and centers a lot of athletes. So that's another way to think of it. But first it's good to ask, I know it's TJ and Nicole and Sue and others have said it's good to, ask the athlete first what they do to center, if there's anything special that they already do that's working for them, and then let them do that. And then if they want additional guidance, give them guidance on what else to center on. Sometimes, like a rugby player, obviously they're focusing on the ball all the time, so you could have them focus on a rugby ball as a way to center. The idea is just to focus your energy on one thing and to get all that scattered thoughts, put them somewhere else, so you can just focus on what you need to do. Sometimes you can just focus on, sometimes it's people don't see anything, but they just have a kind of a feeling inside. I have one athlete that I just met yesterday. This is an example of all the different ways that you can market to people. I mean, I was sitting in the jacuzzi, the hot tub, at the gym. I mean, you could do marketing in the hot tub, no problem. I mean, think how much relaxed other people are when they're in the hot tub versus, when they're at work, right? And so I was at the gym, and I just, did my swim, and then in the hot tub there, and this guy's talking about how he does, he's an athlete. He asked me what sports I did, and I asked him what he does, and he says he's doing the shot put, and that he was one of the best in the world, when he was younger in 1984, and that now he's going for the world championships that are in Sacramento just in 2 months from now, the World Veteran Games, which is like the Olympics for older people, and he's still one of the best in the world. He's the national champion this last year, and now he really wants to improve on his shot put time. And he says back in 1984 he had this fire inside his, he felt this kind of a fire in his stomach and his gut right before he did his best throw ever of 70 feet, I think 70 feet 6 inches. And so he just, it was an image of kind of this feeling of fire energy in his stomach, and that's a perfect image to have for centering, I think. So actually I don't do this too often, but I offered him to do a session of sample coaching session for him, and so we did that by phone, and he had this just phenomenal experience where he's able. I said, well, you can recapture that. You still have that fire inside you, in the stomach area. So he says, I can't quite remember what it was like, but when I got him into that very relaxed state, then he was able to capture all the feelings, and he could see it. He says it was a fire, like a like two streams of fire going up, intertwining, like the symbol that you see on the doctor's business card. And he was able to recapture those feelings, and is now using that in his shot put practices. So that's another example of centering. Someone can feel something, an energy in their stomach or their gut, their center, feel something there that feels strong inside. So so that's an answer of what to focus on there. And then, Christo, you asked, should I leave time on the MP3 for the rugby player to load his own stuff in, like his own ideas, or how do I deal with that? I think that's a good thing to bring up, because each person has their own style, and some people want more guidance and want you to sort of lead them through, and will give you, if they give you all the information you need, all the words, then you can use their words to, that is basically loading in their stuff, because they're giving it to you ahead of time. But other athletes, they might not be as verbal, like especially younger athletes don't tell you. They just say, well, I did great. And they don't give you really a lot of information. So you can tell them, you can leave a little bit of time on this CD. Say, now I want you to visualize what it is that you need to do your best. And then leave a few seconds there for them to visualize. And that's a good idea in general when you're doing visualizations, to give a little bit of time after you say your part to let them kind of fill in their part. Yeah, just, leaving some flexibility for the athletes to create their own images too. Or you can leave it a little bit more open-ended and say, visualize yourself, performing your best and do that right now. And then let them kind of come in with their responses and their images. And then as you work with an athlete all along the way, you'll get an idea of how much guidance they need and what they're doing with it, and you kind of get a partnership going so that you learn what it is that they are wanting. Like, sometimes you might get something wrong and an athlete says, it wasn't. Like when I worked with Stacy on the pole vault, she'd say, "No, I put my right hand up like this," and I said something incorrect on the CD, so she corrected me, and then we were able to make another one, so we got it just right. So you want to make sure that you're saying everything correct, and ask the athlete to give you the right words and the right technique, so that you get it right on the CD. So I hope that answers your question, Christo, and. For that, some of the techniques with visualization. Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, TJ and Nicole, on the call too, if you've got, questions that you want to ask, first. You guys, anything come to mind with visualization or with anything else?
I've kind of put some of this stuff down and walked away from it over the last couple weeks because I started to get a little overwhelmed again with everything that I'm trying to do and what I should be doing to try to get my business going and stuff. So what do you recommend is like the biggest first important step? Like I'm trying to think about things to put on a website and business cards and all of this stuff, and I don't know why it's overwhelming me so much, because I usually don't get this way, but maybe, I don't know, maybe I just want it so badly that it's like freezing me. I don't know, but where should I start? What do you think is the biggest, most important thing that I should start with?
That's a great question, Nicole, and I think everybody, it's Nicole, right, that's talking? Yeah. So I think... everybody feels that a lot of times too, like when you've got so much to do and so many things pressing, it's like that sometimes it can feel paralyzing. Like, oh geez, I think I'll just sit down and take a nap. Can't handle all this. But it's exciting too, because it sounds like, yeah, you're like, you want it so bad and want all this to happen. And I think it will happen for you when you have the desire there. So one thing I like to do is also just a kind of a mode of working. Like, if I'm sitting at my computer and I find my brain is just kind of frozen. Yeah, and I can't think of stuff and can't get the right, can't focus. I'll just say, okay, it's time for a break, and I'll just put on my shoes and go outside and go for a short walk. Like, it can be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Just now that the weather's getting better, it's easier to do that too. And I'll just go out for this quick little walk of 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden when you're walking, there's something about the left-right movement, walking back and forth, your left and right legs moving forward and back, and when you're walking, your left and right arms are moving forward and back, and there's studies in neuropsychology showing that left-right movement helps to balance the left and right sides of the brain, so that when you're walking, you think more clearly, and you you think more creatively. And I find that as soon as I start walking for a little bit, all of a sudden I'm not thinking so linearly. That was the word, linearly. I just, go out and I say, okay, well, all of a sudden my right brain starts taking over in the creative part, where I think, okay, oh, here's a solution to that problem. It just kind of pops into your brain, or a new idea, or okay, now what's the first thing I need to be focusing on? And I'll, things come more clearly to me. So that's one idea, to just, when you feel stuck, to just go out for a, to get moving. When your body starts moving, then your brain starts moving.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of make sense? So, you know, the, and then usually the most important thing that you need to do will come into your mind, or sometimes, you know, one thing I was thinking for you, Nicole, is and TJ and all of us, we need to sort of think of our brand or our identity. What is it you want to call your business? You know, that you're doing with this Performing Edge. You can call yourself a Performing Edge coaching professional, of course, on your card, or whatever you would like to call yourself. But and also, you want to have, you know, a name for your website, you know, a domain name. So, you know, while you're walking out there, you can sort of brainstorm what kinds of things I like to call myself. Like I came up with the term Performing Edge when I was walking one day 10 years ago. you can think of what it is that you want to call yourself. And then you come back to your computer and then you say, okay, well, now I want to see if those domain names are taken. And you can look up something. And if it is taken, then you can always just add a variation on it. Add a the on the front or something. But it's, you know, you want to come up with something as unique as possible that describes who you are. So that might be a first step. I don't know if, Nicole, have you done that? Sort of brainstormed about what you want to call your business or your website?
Yeah. Sorry, I missed some of that call because it dropped on me, or some of what you said. But, yeah, I came up with a domain name for a website. So I definitely want to, I think, I kind of did what you were talking about. Like, the last few days, it's been just absolutely gorgeous here. So I've gone out for a walk for, like, 3 days in a row and finally got moving. And so I've really started coming back trying to figure out, and that's, you know, kind of why I had my question. Like, I'm ready to get back to this, so where do I start? And I just worry that I don't want to make connections with athletes or coaches or anything like that and not be prepared. I think that's what I'm afraid of. It's like, you know, should I do this website first and get a Facebook page going and all of that kind of stuff? Because I don't want to, you know, have that chance encounter with somebody and be like, oh, well, yeah, the website's being built. It's not ready. I don't have anything for you to look at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I understand what you mean. So the great thing about, you know, the time we're living in right now is that, I mean, whereas, like, with a website, it used to take a long time to get all that set up. And with Facebook, it's like having a second website that's much quicker
right.
to put up and free. Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
So you could do that, you know, within a day or so, just a few hours, just putting... Do you know, all of you know about the... Everyone's at sort of a different place with Facebook usually. There's the Facebook profile. You know, that's what people refer to as like their friends page. And you have to start with mm-hmm. that. You know, do you have one of those?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, do you have one, TJ?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good, yeah. Yeah, we should all, you know, we can help each other, too, by being friends on our other pages, if you want, being friends of each other. So then you've got your, what used to be called a fan page, now they call them a business page, or either one, fan page or business page, professional business page. And so, like mine is, if you go to olympicthinking.com, I put that as a forwarding link. Or else it's facebook.com/Dr. Joanne, DrJoann, takes you to the same place there, and you can see an example of my Facebook page, the business page there. So that's the next step is to, once you have the profile, then you get your business page up. And do either of you have one of those?
No, yeah. I don't.
Nicole?
No, I don't for this. I do for my run amok, but I don't have one for this yet.
Okay, so you know how to do it if you've got one for run amok. Yeah, you go down to the bottom and click on applications. It's called, the lower left-hand corner, and then it walks you through how to do that. But it's the great thing is it's free, and you can do it within an hour or so. And then you can start that's what you want to do with you know, and then you could Nicole and TJ and Christo, so anyone here, and Andrew, you can direct people to your Facebook page, and have is, you know, the place for your bio. And the nice thing about a Facebook, you know, the business page is there's no limit to the number of fans you can have, the number of followers. Whereas on the profile page, you can only have 5,000, and you can only follow, I think it's 25 people per day. And they don't want you to do too much promoting of a business on your profile, on your friend's profile. They want you to do, that's why they created these business fan pages, is so that you can actually, you know, have your business page there. So, and do it, and then there's no limit to what you can do in terms of promoting your business. And then you can invite other people to, then you can take people from the profile, you can go over there to your profile and invite people to become fans, or to the like button, everybody calls it now, to like me, but, you know, click the like button on your fan page. So, and then you put that everywhere, like in your, you know, whenever you email someone, you can have that as part of your signature that goes below your name. So you say follow, like mine always says follow me on, and I've got my Facebook page there and all, and my Twitter page and YouTube. So does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so you could do that. I think it would be good to do a Facebook page. And also just, yeah, I could maybe give you some more instructions about that, simple things, how to set. And just Google, it's, whenever you have a question too, just, as they say, just Google it. Put in, you know, how do I set up a Facebook fan page or business page, and you can get some quick instructions there too. And then they give you a what's called, well, just a, the business page, it'll say facebook.com/, and then it's this long there's a bunch of you know, letters and stuff after it. But then after you get I think it's 25 fans or 25 followers, then you can have your own personal name on there. So like you could have, I've got facebook.com/Dr. Joanne, you could have facebook.com/ Nicole Englert, or whatever, or, you know, performance coach, whatever you want to put there. So, but in the meantime, you can also get a domain name, you know, like I got olympicthinking.com, and I have that forwarded there to the fan page. So it's easier to, something you can tell people easily. So, yeah, so that's a good place to start with the, well, the nice thing about, yeah, starting with a website or web page is you can always change it, you know, to something else. So, whereas if you do like a big fancy brochure or something in print, then if you change something, you know, you've got to print things all over again. So, but also one thing I wanted to emphasize is that we tend to have that perfectionistic mindset, I think, and, you know, and want to have everything perfect before we go out and tell the world. And I think it is good to have to look professional and to get, like you say, I think you're smart to get up something that looks good. But also, it can be, you know, paralyzing. And sometimes we tend to think, oh, this has to be perfect in order before I tell anyone about it. And then if it never gets perfect, then we never get going. So you can do it in stages and just, you know, just have, you know, put something up there and then keep adding to it. And I'm happy to give you feedback too on your website and on what's happening. Feel free to send me whatever you have, and I'll, give you some ideas on how to improve it. The great thing is it's so easy to do these days. So, yeah, I'd say, and then with regard to cards, business cards, you could have something simple. You know, Vista Print, you know, has these deals. You have 250 cards for free. So you can start with just a simple business card that doesn't cost you. All it costs is shipping or something. It's really inexpensive. And then you could start with one card, and then after a while, you know, if you need to change something, you just get another set of cards. So that's another easy thing to do. Just you've got your phone number and your email, right?
Right.
So you can just you've got that information you can put on there. And if you have do you have a domain name?
I do. Yeah.
So you could put that on there, even if you don't have a website yet. I mean, for the time being, you could have the domain name and just have it for free. You could have it forwarded to your Facebook page. Yeah. Just forward it there, and then, you know, and just set up this Facebook page, yeah. And then...
how do you do that?
Yeah, you just go... Where do you have your domain name? At GoDaddy or another place?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just go to GoDaddy. You can, first, if you just call them, you know, customer service is really well. They have 24/7 customer service, and if you call at nighttime, you know, like right after you get off work or something...
Right.
You know, at 3 in the morning or something, then then they call, they answer right away. Yeah, if you call in the nighttime, and they're very good about just walking you through exactly what you need to do. But basically, it's very simple. You just go to GoDaddy and you log in and to your account, and then you look on the left hand side and you click on Domain Manager, and then your domains will come up. If you just have one there, that will come up, and then there's a little box on the left hand side. You click on the box with your domain name, and then right above that you'll see all these little icons that come up, and there's one that says forward. There's a green one that says forwarding, and you click on that.
Okay.
And click on forward domain, and then a little box will come up and it'll say where do you want your domain forwarded to. So that's where you can put in the domain name of your Facebook page.
Okay.
So that's simple. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, very simple.
Yeah, and then you could have it there. So you set up your Facebook page, and it works out great. You can also, you know, on my Facebook page, you know, if you go to the olympicthinking.com, you notice on the left-hand side there's a nice little banner there. You can add something like that. You can put, and if you go to that website, fiverr.com, fiverr.com, you know, you can get,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. You can get these graphic artists to do a nice little banner for you for $5. I know it sounds too good to be true, but there, in this economy, there's a lot of technical people that are really wanting work out there and wanting to get exposure. So they're willing to do, you know, work for a very small fee. You know, to get their name out there, just to maybe get a testimonial from you. So you can just tell them what you want, or you could, you know, if you like what's on my site, you could say, yeah, I like what's here, and, you know, create something like this, but I'd like to have
mm-hmm.
this, and like have your name and your photo and your brand name and all of that. So it can look, because people go there and they say, I mean, that didn't only cost me a few dollars, and people say, wow, that looks really professional. The graphics on there. So, yeah, so that's some ideas, Nicole, and I'd say keep going, and with the walking, I would say, you know, yeah, since it's nice weather now, what I do now is go out, you know, every hour, every 90 minutes, I go out for a 5 or 10 minute walk, and that's the time when I, like, switch from the left brain to the right brain, and it gives the brain a chance to just kind of say, okay, now what's the next thing, or what's the next creative thing we need to do, or look at the sort of the big picture. It allows your brain to kind of synthesize everything that's happening, and all the most important things usually come into your mind, and the more solutions come real easily. And then I come back to my computer and say, okay, now I'm ready to focus again on the next thing I'm doing. So if you think of it like working in chunks, you know, you're like 50 minutes, and I set a timer, and then when the timer goes off, I think, okay, now it's time to take a break or switch gears, and then so you don't think of it as just like endless hours and hours of working on a project. You think of it as like a 50 minute or 60 minute chunk, and it seems to you can get a lot more done that way. So yeah, how's that sound? Is that helpful?
Yeah. It makes it sound so much easier than what I've been, like, making it in my head.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, TJ, are you there? Do you have a question, too?
No, I think I had a couple different things. You know, you said you were going to talk a little bit more about e-books, which I would love to hear more about, because I'm sitting here trying to develop the title.
Oh, yeah.
And also, what was it that we... Oh, different visualizations. Like, I'm trying to figure out with some of my clients what kind of visualization would fit them best. And, like, they don't necessarily know if I would ask them, well, you know, do you want to focus on, like, positive imaging, or do you want to focus on overcoming injuries? Like, they don't necessarily know. I feel like that's something I should be able to figure out for them. So I'm just a little bit stuck on kind of knowing which visualizations to use. When, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess you might want to ask them, the more question-intensive sort of question-asking you can do with your clients to get more information, the better. And plus, it's a really good rapport-building technique, so they really realize that you're very interested in them and want to know exactly where they're at. So you can ask them, what's most pressing for you right now? What's the top thing on your mind? And, if they tell you, oh, it's this injury, this nagging injury right here, then you could do a visualization focusing on that, the journey through the body type of thing, or some of the visualizations in the Your Performing Edge book, like, going through each part of the body and asking, what does it need? What's it feeling right now? And what does that part need? And then giving it the tools that it needs. And you can combine, like those two things you were mentioning, that focusing on an injury and also being positive. So you could now focus on or imagine have your body tell you what it would feel like to be healed, to be completely healed and active again, doing what you want to be doing. And so you could do a whole imagery around that and see yourself recovering quickly and being able to feel good, feel balanced, be able to move well within your body and get back to running or swimming, cycling, and have them image that, as part of the imagery too. Also, it's just kind of a trial and error sort of thing. You can, try out one image and one type of visualization and see what resonates with them the most. It's good to get lots of feedback after the doing a visualization, so you tell them what you need, or ask them what they need. For instance, an athlete might be in a slump or something. That's a big area, that they feel like they're just, they used to be really fast and now they're just, used to be able to complete their goals and now they're just kind of feeling like they're spinning their wheels, getting nowhere. So, you could do an imagery around, getting through a slump and, being able to feel vibrant again. And I usually just try to use the words that they are using, what it is that they want to achieve, and then put that into an imagery. Combine that with the visualizations I already have set up, and then I'll really customize it for that client. But that's a really good question. I think what I do with a session usually is talk a bit at first about what's going on and do a lot of asking of questions and delving in more deeply to what it is that there is troubling them and get them to talk about that. And then I'll try to find different points along the way where I can offer suggestions and tips and different things that they could do. And then end the session with a visualization, but leave time at the end for them to debrief also and talk about how they, what their response was, maybe what their anchor was, and how they can, what they'd like to do with that, what action steps they can take based on that visualization, that sort of thing. Yeah. And another thing you can do is, the chapter in the book on listening to the wisdom of your body. So that's a really good chapter, I think, with you, TJ, working on recovery. That's a great one for people to focus on with, regard to, coming back from an injury and not coming back too soon, because there's just that continual process of, how do you know when to push your body and how do you know when to hold back and all of that. That all comes from, that awareness in your body. So you could do a lot of work on that and even develop that area even more, within your practice. How to, think of yourself, like TJ, when you are as an athlete, how do you, develop that awareness within yourself? Kind of think about how you do it. uh-huh. first, and then kind of create a way for your athletes to do the same thing. Like,
okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that all makes a lot of sense. I'm just writing notes randomly here.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, the time that people need to be aware of the most is when they're first warming up for, say, going out for a run or a workout, and that, you know, before the endorphins kick in. Because once you, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, it feels, well, kind of sore when I was first warming up, but then I went out and started running, and then it felt fine. Well, that's, of course, you know, your endorphins in your body are maybe covering up some of the pain, too. And then later on they say, oh, then it felt like, I felt horrible afterward. Because they maybe weren't aware of when they were warming up, you know, really listening to your body at that point and seeing, okay, do I need to let your body tell you, are you ready to, you know, do the planned workout of, you know, 4 miles today or 5 miles or should I just, or 10 miles or whatever, or should I cut it back to just doing a couple miles and then get in the pool and go swimming instead? Most people, you know, sort of have a workout in their head and they say, I'm going to do this workout no matter what. But when you're recovering from an injury, it's a whole different thing, as you know, and you got to really be flexible. Ask yourself those questions. How far should I go today? How's my, and go through like a whole body scan. I think that would be a good imagery to do, you know, with someone, right, both when they're just relaxed in their sleeping, you know, right before they go to bed at night, and then also right before, as they're warming up for a workout, say, ask yourself, okay, how's my head? How's my neck? How's my shoulders? How's my posture? How's my left to right balance? Because usually, you know, when you, yeah, you injure one side, then you're overusing the other side, then you get a compensation injury, right? I'm sure you see lots of that, right?
Yeah.
On the other side, and so you want to, and people aren't aware that they're running funny or their body is out of balance. So just, and then also as a massage therapist with your work, all this work to, you know, the mental work can really complement what you're doing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They can, because a lot of people, yeah, they get a massage and then they go out and they just, you know, ruin their bodies the next day.
Right? Yep.
Oh, I feel so much better. Now I'm going to go out and really rip up the roads.
Yep.
And then they come back to you and say, oh, God, now I need your help again. Which is,
oh, yeah.
It keeps you in business, that's for sure. But also, you want them to be happy and be able to function well and to keep moving forward, right?
So, oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so if you if you had a way that they could do their mental training, you know, in between, you know, whatever it is that you're working on, like with your massage, and then say, let's say you're working on their piriformis muscle or something in the hip, then you could have them do a specific visualization around the piriformis muscle, the butt muscles there, and you know, that you're imagining, you know, you putting in your own healing tool and working on that throughout the week. And so have them do an imagery that reinforces, you know, the work that you're already doing with them. Yeah, just
right.
Yeah, that makes and then be aware of, you know, have them do a rating system, I think, is really good to have people do a 1 to 10, you know, if, you know, wherever the injury is, rate it from 1 to 10, 10 being the best it's ever been, and 1 being the worst, and then, you know, say when it's, or the other way, well, whichever way makes sense. I don't know, 10 could be the worst pain and 1 could be the best. And then when they get up to 1 or 2 or 3, you know, in there, they need to really pay attention and do something, you know, change something in their training. So do that rating system and have them, you know, write that down, how much pain is there with different activities, and then have them bring that into you so that you can reassess it and decide, you know, what they should do next based on how they're feeling, because a lot of people don't even know, or they don't take that much, they don't have that much awareness I think. And so if you can create that awareness, then you'll have a lot more data to work with, too. And you can work sort of as a partnership with them and say, okay, let's have a – we'll have our think tank here together and see what's best to do next and how the athlete can, you know, really work with you and accelerate the work that you're already doing. And then they feel like they – I think the athletes feel so much better, too. They feel like, wow, there's something I can do during the week to, you know, help me to, you know, move forward after I've gotten this great treatment from TJ.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
Good. Well, thank you. That gives me a lot of stuff to think about. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, more stuff to think about.
Yeah, right. And then we could talk a little bit about, ebooks too here. And, Nicole, I was going to mention, let's see, yeah, with your, you're thinking about hockey players, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, with hockey players, you could develop some, visualization techniques specifically for hockey and using that, using that kind of language in the visualizations. That might be another aspect of your business, you know, like while you're thinking of things, different things to do, you could just write an article, write a few short little, and when I say article, I don't mean, you know, if people think, oh, God, I don't want to write this whole, you know, novel. But an article,
right.
Yeah, an article these days can be very short, you know, 300 words or 500 words. It could be just a quick paragraph about the three mistakes article is really a great one. Here's three. What are the top three? Because everybody loves to, somehow they are so attracted to that. It's like when you drive by an accident, you can't not look at the accident.
Right.
Oh my God, what happened there? And when you read the three mistakes, top three mistakes that hockey players make or hockey coaches make and what to do instead, they're thinking, oh, I better read this to find out if I'm making these mistakes. And you talk in that first paragraph, am I making these mistakes? And then here's what to do instead. And then you can write, here's mistake number one, and here's what to do instead, mistake number two, here's what to do instead, and number three. And there you've got your article. And you can suggest a visualization technique, too, that you come up with for hockey players. Have you thought of any that you'd like to do for them?
Not in depth, no.
Yeah, but something, you know, obviously the ultimate is visualizing, getting the ball in the goal, right? And
right.
And going for, you know, seeing that the progression before that, all that needs to happen to get that to happen. So, you could write a little visualization around that, and that could be part of that article or part of a second article. Yeah, it should come up with stuff, and then and that could be an article you offer to, you know, the hockey coaches. Or you can also put it on your blog and your Facebook page. With Facebook, you want to do just, you know, a small little two or three lines, an introduction, and then you give a link from the Facebook page to your blog. So then you can put more of the article there. And then you could do, I like to do like a two or three part article. So you just give them a hint of what's happening in the first article, you know, one tip or so, and then you say, okay, now go to article two. Next time, stay tuned for article two where we'll talk about this. And so you get people coming back. Or you could have a five-part article. Yeah, and you get people, you know, really interested in your topic area. And if you say there's five parts, they got to come back for number two and number three, right?
Right, yeah.
Or it's like on TV, you always watch, here's the next problem we're going to deal with. Find out how so-and-so, got through this major tragedy. What happened here? We'll be back after the next commercial. And that's why they keep you coming back. Oh, I got to find out how so-and-so got through this mess. So it's like a cliffhanger, they call it, right?
So right, yeah.
At the end of the article, you can put a cliffhanger of, but what happens when you have this problem? We're going to tell you in part two. So you always think of it that way. Give them a reason for coming back to the next article.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a good way to do it. So that's something you could be doing every day, you know, just which doesn't require, you know, any outside expertise or anything, just writing something quick that comes in your head. And then each of those could be, even if you don't have your blog or your website up yet, they could also, when you do have it, they could each be a blog post or a little tip from you. So, yeah, always and then include your email there so people can contact you. So, yeah, there's so much we can talk about with visualizations and with business. Let's see, with e-books, I was going to mention first, some of the great things that are happening with that is that there's so many different places you can you can use ebooks now. You can and an ebook, you know, the great thing about it is it doesn't cost anything. It's just digital. It's just just words that you put on your computer. So I heard the term the other day with regard to therapists and people in our field. They call it the digital couch. Have you heard that term?
No.
Digital couch. I love it. So, you know, what you want to do, you can put your ebook on, and it could be very small, too. It could be just one article. It could be a collection of two or three articles. And then there's some ebooks that are more extensive. So you can start out with a short ebook that you provide for free, and you just have that on your website. And or also a link on your Facebook page, and then people. That's always in the when you're designing your website too. Oh, Nicole, I was going to say, and also TJ, you were going to overhaul your website. You said too, or update it. Yeah, and WordPress is definitely the way to go if you want working with someone. You know, make sure that they know WordPress, that they're not just dabbling in WordPress, but they really understand how to do WordPress because that's where everyone's going now, and it makes it so much easier for you. Because now, like with my websites, drjoanne.com, I just and Performing Edge Coach, I just, you know, update it myself. I'm not dependent on a webmaster to do that. So with WordPress, it's so easy to do. So in the upper right-hand corner, well, you got your header on the top, and then I was going to give you sort of a little checklist of things to put on your website. One is to make sure that you got your header on the top. That's you know, something simple. Like the one with drjoanne.com, people seem to like because it's simple. It just has my, you know, picture on the left and the book on the right. If you and you even if you don't have a book yet, you can get a book cover made, you know, that with that Fiverr.com website. People there, you know, very simple kind of cover that you could have for. It could be the cover of an article or something. Just something there with your title on it, and then just put a tagline or something in the center, so it can be very simple. And then in the down just below that on the upper right hand side, you always want to have a place for what's called an opt-in, which is your place for people to give their name and email in exchange for something of value that you can provide for them. So like for me, I put my free private mentoring program there, which is just it's a series of autoresponders that I have set up that goes out through that VIPrunning.com. site that where you can set up, you know, you can get autoresponders. You can just get the package that just has autoresponders, which is very inexpensive, and then you build your email list there, and so that's like a 7-part series. I want to expand it now to more, so that people get something for, you know, several months every week, and I find people. And then I put on Twitter. You just, you know, I'll put my. You know, say go to get my free private mentoring program at this link, and people sign up every day. I get one or two or three sign-ups every day for that. So that's people that are interested in my content. You can do the same thing, and they and then they're on your list, and then you can with this when you have it set up through you know, the VIP running or whatever email system you choose, then you can send out email what are called broadcasts. So every time you have an event or something going on, or a new video or a new article, you can or something new on your blog, you can send that out to everyone there, and you know, valuable content, and then you can always market to them too and tell them about your services. So that's an important thing to have in the upper right-hand corner of your of your blog there, your website, is a place for a name and email. And then always down at the bottom of the website, you want to have your what are called footers, and that's your contact information. You want to have several links down there if you would like, a link just to your home page and a link to a contact page. And if you have like a terms and conditions, anything legal stuff you want, you can have a link to that. Just go to different websites below the bottom of drjoanne.com. You can see the various links I have there. You can put one to support or, links to a product page at the bottom if you like. So those are, that's another thing you want to make sure you have on your website. So you've got your header and your footers and your opt-in on the right. And then what you have is categories across the top there. Like on drjoanne.com, I've got TV show and various categories there. I've got sports psychology tips. So you want to have various categories across the top, and one should be products or resources, so that you always have your products there. And that's where you could sell your ebooks as well under products. So you want to put that there so that you can sell. You could sell a higher priced ebook. I suggest start out with something like $9.97 or $19.97. For some reason, the word seven sells better than research has shown. If you have the number seven in your in your price, people respond to it better. So that's good to know. I don't know if I see someone. I wonder if Christo came on the line. He might have come on because it's. If you're there, welcome.
Yes.
Christo. Oh, hi, how are you? Good to have you on the line. Can you hear me? I think he, because it's South Africa, that tends to come in and out. Christo, I answered your question that you sent to me earlier on, so you can listen to that on the recording too. But while you're. Because I can't quite hear you.
Can you hear me, Joanne?
Now I can. Oh, good. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, how are you doing?
I can hear you clearly now. Suddenly I've struggled to get in. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. I can hear you clearly tonight.
Oh, good, good, wonderful. Yeah, so you're working with your rugby player and doing an MP3 for him?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and...
I just had a golfer this afternoon, yeah. And which I'm also going to do at MP3 for.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, on the someone on an amateur or professional circuit, or what level is he at?
It's an amateur. He's playing qualifying round to turn professional towards the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah, great. Yeah, I know you're doing so much with these, with the work that we've been doing in this course, and doing so many MP3 files is fantastic. And that's great. So
it's a work in progress, especially like with the rugby player. We'll have to test and see, because these guys don't really trust it, but this guy's open to it, so we'll see. And he's the captain of one of the top sides in South Africa.
Okay, so he trusts you, or trusts this technique? Or he's sort of open to it anyway?
Yes, he's open to it. So I'm going to, after this call, I have a golfer from America Skyping me in at 9 o'clock South African time in just more than an hour. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him.
Okay. Yeah, someone new? Is it this a golfer?
Yes, someone new. It's a South African studying in the USA, and he's taking part in some big tournament.
Oh, great. Well, the first... session, with Skype, I would just, focus on building a relationship, asking him lots of questions and asking, usually at first they, you know, an athlete will want to tell you about the problem areas. So, yeah, you want to get into that and ask him lots of follow-up questions, you know, tell me more about, you know, what's troubling you and what's frustrating you. Because usually if you can get at their pain and their frustration and their what they worry about, what keeps them awake at night, then that's what clients will pay you for, or that's why what keeps them coming back to you, is if you can really understand at a deep level what it is that is troubling them and what they feel is getting in the way. And then if you can also understand their desires, what it is that they want the most, and what it is that they are, their aspirations, what it is they're shooting for, and understand that at a very deep level too, then that can really help you to have that, build that rapport, that relationship, and have, and just, you know, that sense that that you really understand them, and that you really care about them. So, yeah, I suggest doing just a lot of intensive question asking and really going in with the attitude of a curiosity, you know, almost like you're out there with them playing golf and wanting to know all the details, everything that they that's going through their head. And I think, you know, you've got, all of you on this call have a good sense of a way to do, you know, a good, you know, good communication skills for that. So it's good. If you can do the Skype by video, that's even better. Or you can do it audio or video. Are you there, Christo? Not sure if he, I think he might have gone off the line. Yeah, this will be on the recording anyway. sometimes the recording sort of goes in and out with him being so far away. But then you can gather that information from the golfer to, or the rugby player to, with both athletes to then create an MP3 file for them. Use that pre-visualization, pre-assessment that we worked with earlier.
Sorry, Jen?
Yeah. Oh, now I can. Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a little bit there. I could just hear you just now.
Yeah, sorry, I got cut off again. I got cut off again, and I had to dial in again, but I'm back. So I missed quite a bit, but I'll catch up on the recording.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, we can Skype on, was it your Saturday morning? You're going to let me know if you can do that.
Okay. What I would like is What I can just tell you quickly about the golfer is that he played two tournaments now, and then he was ahead, and then he fell out of the bus on the last two holes, and that's what he needs help with. The rugby player wants to get in a sort of a state where he wants to put stuff in his head of what he wants to do, and so he wants a more like a, almost a meditation thing, so I'm not sure how to handle that part.
Yeah, you could, so that he has, there's two ways of handling it. One is you could, he could give you the information that he wants to load into his head, you know, the, ask him more questions and to give you his words and how he describes what he wants, and then you could say those on the MP3. Or another way is you can just, you know, say something general and say, you know, now, here's a chance for you to and give it, say his, what's his name, or you could say his first name, and then you could say here I want you to load in the stuff that you want you know to create a positive image in your mind.
I do it.
What's that? I was going to say, I can't quite hear you right now, but you could give him a little, you know, say, just make some general comments and then allow him to load in his own information and just leave a few seconds of silence there for him to put in what it is that he wants. And then every, you know, few seconds or so, just, you know, give some encouragement and say, you're doing great. and now keep going with that thought, or continue putting in all the positive energy that you need right now, and just leave it open for him to be able to relax. You can also, there's a way that you can add music in the background too, so that it enhances the experience.
Yeah, he's very strong.
He's very strong. I just got, he's very strong, and then I think he cut out.
He's very strong kinesthetically, so he struggles with seeing pictures. He's very strong kinesthetically, so he feels everything.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. So that's great that you know that. So you want to use words that enhance the kinesthetic sense. So, yeah, talk about you feel. Are you talking about the golfer or the rugby player? I can't quite hear you right now, but there's a little bit of a delay. But if you could just jump right in, if you can talk. But I think if you're talking about the golfer, for instance, you can say
the rugby player.
Oh, the rugby player. Okay. You can talk about feeling your foot on the your feet on the ground as you're running, and feeling what it's like to kick the ball, and to feeling what it's like to run, as fast as you can, and to change positions, and having that sense of what your body is doing and where your body is at every moment. And yeah, using a lot of those kinds of kinesthetic words would be great. And it's along the way you can have him develop his the visual sense as well, and being able to see, just notice everything. One exercise for developing the visual senses is open your eyes and notice everything around you, the colors and the shapes and what people are wearing, and then close your eyes and be able to see that same thing. See if you can replicate that in your mind. And then do that, like just to have them do that in the room when you're working with him, and just open your eyes and notice the details there. Let's say there's some plaques on the wall, and then be able to close your eyes and see if you can see those same plaques on the wall, or see the see the other players. All of that can help with the visual sense too, but you want to work with the strong sense first, the kinesthetic sense. So see if you can get as many words from him, a description of how he feels and what's most important kinesthetically for him. And then that's great if he has that sense of touch, just bring that in and reinforce that. So that kind of makes sense. And then, does he have a competition coming up soon? Are you there?
Yeah.
I think. Go ahead. I can hear you breathing.
Okay. We seem to have a long delay.
Yeah. But if you have a...
They're playing a very important game on Saturday. It's almost every Saturday now. The golfer I'm working with tonight, hopefully, if I get a better connection, it will be... Sorry, I start talking and then you start again because of the delay. The golfer I'm working with, I'll just give you the scenario and then I'll keep quiet and listen for a while. The golfer falls out of the bus in the last two holes. So I'm going to see him tonight for the first time, or listen to him for the first time. And he wants help with that last part of it. So I'm going to, I'll ask questions a bit and see what he's like. And but then, what do I focus on? And the one other question I have, just about when I start the MP3 with the breathing and centering, what do they think about when they're centering? Where do they think? Do they just think about the abdominal, or what's happening there? Okay, I'm going to listen now.
Okay, thanks, since there seems to be a delay, as you say. I would say, yeah, with your those are great questions, Christo, and I think they apply to everyone on the call, too, with you, Nicole, and TJ, and Sue, and Andrew, and also, there are other chiropractors that we have on the call, too, that when you're working with an athlete, that's a really common question that can really bring you a lot of great success with your athletes is when you can help them to get through the, like you say, the final two holes of the game in golf or in any sport. It seems like there's always that time when people have, clinch time, or the pressure, the high pressure time, or the time when people tend to choke. So the problem is that athletes tend to see themselves choking or see themselves messing up during the crucial moment of the game, and so that's where they tend to replay that film in their mind, think, oh, okay, this is like you said, as you say, fall off the bus with those two rounds to go, two holes to go. And so they're playing this film over and over in their mind, so the body follows those mental instructions. So what you want to do is when they play that film in their mind, it's almost like you're a film director and you want to say cut. And, okay, cut, let's go back and replay the film again the way that you want it to happen. And sometimes it might not. The film might not be perfect the first time around, but like a film director, you want to have them play it, replay it over several times in their mind until they get it just right the way that they want. Because the mind tends to want to go back to the negative stuff and replay the mistakes over and over. And so you want to have them be able to play it correctly, what they'd like to happen in those last two holes, of the golfer. And then not just play it once, but replay that over and over again, and maybe replay it in different ways on different courses, different golf courses, under different conditions, with different players there, and all the different scenarios you can think of, so that no matter what is happening out there, that he's able to see. You could have a visualization where he is seeing himself, messing up or decreasing his performance, see him accelerating his performance. So as he gets closer and closer to those final holes, that this is the time, have him see that this is the time that he excels, and this is the time he gets excited about, and is carrying all this great energy forward to get to those final holes. That's the same thing for you, Nicole, with hockey, seeing players being able to really perform well in the last few seconds of a game to accelerate. With golf, it's so there's so much time. It's like totally opposite of hockey or something, where the action's so fast. With golf, it's so slow. There's so much time in between to think about how you messed up. That's why it's a really mental game, and that's why, Christo, they need your help so much, I think, is to be able to, perform well when it counts. And so you might want to do both, a combination of the positive imagery and also giving him some power words to say to himself, so both things are sort of going on at the same time, so he can say to himself, I absolutely love the last two holes of the game, or this is where I excel. You could write down some words like that and have him come up with his own phrases. You could give him some examples and then have him come up with his own phrases as well. This is where I do my absolute best, is when I get to these last holes. And things like, I'm saving up all my energy for the last holes in the game. My stroke is getting cleaner and better and stronger with each of the holes in the game. And so you see this, a progression, a kind of acceleration and a improvement in performance as he goes along in the game. Whereas right now he's probably seeing the opposite, seeing it drop off. You want to, change that picture to one of improvement. And, both in his images, what he sees in his mind, and then in the words that he says to himself with his ears, and then use the kinesthetic sense too. You feel, you know, whatever he's doing in the first part of the game that's working well, have him replicate that in terms of feel and technique and touch in the last part. A lot of times what happens is athletes think too much. You know, they get too much into worrying about their technique and they're doing everything just right, you know, during the last part of the game, and their mind gets in the way of the performance. So if you can have him, just go into that automatic pilot of, imagining that time when he was at his best, that might be a really good time to, you know, do the peak performance MP3 file of the time that he was performing at his absolute best, and anchor that inside with an image, a physical gesture or color shape, and then have him bring out his anchor. You know, if it's a fist pump, or some people like, with golfers, they like to think of grabbing the club in a certain way. That could be their anchor. Or holding on to the ball, whatever it is that might be a physical anchor for them, and then keep strengthening that anchor. So whenever they do that motion, that physical gesture, that success anchor, then that strengthens the association to that their success, to their feeling of success, to that success experience they've had in the past. So it becomes like just so ingrained and so connected. You know, it's like with me, I've got the okay sign. My thumb presses put my thumb and my first finger together. When I do that okay sign, like I'm doing it right now as I'm talking to you, then it gives me a sense of power and strength, and takes me to that time when I actually had a, peak performance, and I had an audience stand up and, get a standing ovation, and I gave a talk for 2,000 people at this, one of my best talks I ever gave, and I just remember that experience. So the okay sign is my success anchor for that. And you can, if you can do this too, Christo, and all of you on the call, create your own success anchor, Nicole and TJ and Sue, create something that is, try this yourself so that you can give an example of what you do, and have a success anchor, a physical gesture that you do. And then let's say when you're going to talk with your client, use your own success anchor yourself and try it out and see how powerful it is. Have an anchor that you anchor to something that when you felt really good, like one of your great sports experiences, or a great talk that you gave, or could be taking acing a test. Something that you did really well, then have that success anchor and practice it yourself, then you'll be able to be a good role model and show them how this works, with your clients as well. So, yeah, I hope that helps. If you have any other questions too, I know Krista, you can email them to me too, and I can check my email here. So I think, let's see, do you, I don't know, Nicole, are you still on the line too?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, yeah, great. Do you have other questions that come to mind, or other thoughts about that we were just talking about?
No, not at the moment. I will probably, think on it and listen to the call replay and things, and something will probably come up.
I want to be there for you, for all you guys, to for you with developing your website and your business cards, and it's a really exciting time for you, I think. You've got so much that you can do to help people, and I'd suggest just putting together, when you go to sleep, right before you go to sleep at night, kind of have an image of what it is that you want to, the big picture of, what you'd like your practice to look like, and what you'd like to be doing with coaches.
I just asked one question.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Oh, I think there's a delay again. You can just, I'll check my email if you want to type it into. To email, because your voice is kind of going in and out,
I have one question, Jan, about the centering. What do you concentrate on?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I talked about that earlier in the call, but what I was going to say is, with that question, when you're centering, you can concentrate on, it could be, it's very individualized, and each person has a different way of doing it. So first you could ask the person, the athlete, is there anything you're doing so far that is working, or doing already that's working well for you, and see what they use. And then you can give them suggestions, like I tell people, you know, when you center, just focus on your center, which is right, you know, just a couple inches behind your belly button. Just imagine that center of your body, and it can be feel like a center of energy. Some people think of it like a fire inside or a positive energy inside themselves. You know, if you're to stand, like with both feet balanced, and everything is, you know, just balanced and aligned within your body, and then you think of the absolute kind of center of your body, which is kind of like your core. Think of it as your core area there, and ask them to put their hands right, like on their belly button or just below there. And then just imagine like your body is the center of the universe or something. You can have them imagine, you know, that area in the kind of their, just think of it as a center of energy. Then, and you can make it just real simple. You know, people will come up with their own concept, whatever it is that they come up with. But just imagine themselves as being centered, balanced, grounded, using those words. Then most people will come up with something that is just, you know, it's like where you breathe from, your abdomen area. Because that's a lot of times where we get our power from, where we get our energy from. So have them imagine that as you breathe in through your nose. And then just as you breathe out, just focus, just imagine that there's all that energy, unwanted thoughts or stresses going out through your fingertips and toes. So that's a good way to let go of the unwanted stress, unwanted thoughts. So breathing in, again, you know, focusing on the center. And you just want to keep it simple and just let them find their area that's right there. But the idea is that you just you let go of all the unwanted thought, the thoughts before and after, and just get yourself right into the present tense of your of what's happening right here and right now, and be able to not let any other distractions come in. So one way to think about it is just focus on your breathing. And you know, breathing in slowly and deeply, and then just have your hand on your abdomen. And just one thing that can help people is if you put your hand on your abdomen, just feel your stomach rising as you breathe in, and that can help people sort of locate their center of their body too, and become more aware of that. And so as you're aware of your breathing, and you're just focusing only on your breathing, and that center area of your body, then all the other distracting thoughts go away. That's the whole idea. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question. And maybe I'll write a little bit more about that, and I can send you guys an email of, a little bit more about centering, too, because that's a good question, you know, just how to get in the here and now. But the idea is to just be in the present moment and be right here, right now. Just be totally aware of your body and aware of what's within you, as opposed to the distractions all around you on the outside. You want to be focused on the energy within. And some people call it chi, you know, chi energy in the eastern countries, and it's a kind of but you don't want to get, some people, you don't want to get too new age or too out there with I think because most, you know, a lot of athletes, they just want things very simple and practical, something that makes sense to them, something you can use right away that doesn't seem too hocus pocus. And so, just thinking about, you know, energy in your center is the easiest way to go, I think, with that. So, we've got our next call. I hope that helps with your questions. And our next call will be on May 26th, 2 weeks from now, on Thursday, the same time. Nicole, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was. We were talking a minute ago, and then I got interrupted. Christo came in with this question. Let's see. Remind me what I was. Do you remember what I was saying with you a few minutes ago? We were talking about something. I just wanted to finish that thought.
No, I know. I remember you asked me if I had any other questions, and I said after I would probably be thinking about stuff, I would.
Yeah, email me or
come up with something.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I was thinking, right before you go to sleep, I was thinking,
about thinking about what I want my practice to be like and visualize that.
Yeah, visualize the big picture, and then, keep honing in on